Continue from where we stopped on last, is it last week Wednesday? Luke chapter 9. What was the topic last week Wednesday? Huh? Who remembers the topic? Oh, there was no topic. There was no topic, but what were we talking about? Huh? We're talking about laborers, we're talking about the harvest. So let's read again just to refresh our mind. And today we'll look more at the next. So we started our reading from where? From 57, right? And it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. So you see that a passionate desire to follow the Lord is not guarantee that we are really ready to follow Him. Right? A passionate desire does not guarantee that we are ready, because we do not determine the protocol. We do not determine how it will go. Right? We don't determine that. He's the one that determines that. It means that the terms of following the Lord, there are terms and conditions. Praise God. And then those terms and conditions is not determined by us. It's determined by the Lord Himself. Are we together here? So there is an appreciable level of humility that is necessary when we begin to talk about following the Lord. We have to be a people who are humble enough to follow Him as He demands and as He dictates. Immediately you want to be in charge of how the following will be, then we miss the point already. Are we together here? He dictates how the following will be. You don't dictate that. The Lord Himself will dictate that. And so in this very case, we see a very passionate man talking about following the Lord. And the Lord says, well, I appreciate your passion, but I would just let you know about one of the important things you need to know as regards following me. And the Lord quickly told him that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And I think I call that, what did I call that? The unpredictability. When you're following the Lord, He wouldn't give you the luxury of knowing or owning the details. You can be sure of the end game, but you wouldn't be sure of the process or the exact picture of the end. Are we together here? So you must be willing to accept that. Praise God. Hallelujah. The challenge many of us face is when God begins to lead us in this way where you are not in charge of outcome. It can be very, very challenging. And a lot of people turn back at this point when they're not in charge of outcome. There is a way you have peace when you're in charge of outcome. You know, so, and that's why a lot of us have our plans in our head. And you will just be okay if the Lord will just agree to it and bring it to fusion. Most young men have an idea of the type of man they want to marry. A woman they want to marry, rather. And most young women have the idea of the man they want to marry. Sometimes the details are even even to the nails. Yeah. Some people have such details, the kind of nails that he should have, or the industry where he should work, or the texture of his voice. I'll tell you the truth, if I give the mic for people to describe what they're expecting, you'll be shocked at the various desires that everyone has. Sometimes of color, of complexion, of height, right? I don't know if there's any woman here who wants to marry a short man. Raise your hand if you're looking forward to a short man. So you see that if you're in this church, for example, and you're a short man, your chances are quite slim. Is there any woman here who believes that God will give her a tall man? Raise your hand, a tall man. I want to see the hand. You don't know, God is seeing, God, aha. So you see, so you can see that if you are short here, you will need the help of angels. You know, when it's time for you to get married in this house, you might need angels to visit. You see, because all the women want tall, you know, tall men. I don't know if my wife ever desired a tall. Did you ever desire a tall man? All right. I came as desired. Or is it a case of small toilet, big parlor? You know, when you want to get a house, there's always the one you want, you have to make compromise. Maybe small toilet, big parlor, or big parlor, small kitchen. You just have to. This particular one has big parlor, small kitchen. This one, the kitchen is big, but the rooms are quite small. You know, so foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. But he's definitely going to lay his head. But it's not just predictable the exact place he will lay his head. And so you have to be comfortable stepping out in the will of God many times where you don't even exactly know the details of it, right? This is how you practice the life that's in the Spirit. And he said unto another, follow me, but he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. The challenge here is that if he's Lord, then it will be first also. Right? To go bury my father. What did we call this one? Huh? The urgency and the priority of the kingdom. There is urgency. Huh? Kingdom work and the will of God cannot be postponed. Huh? Ordinary work up, they find it difficult to postpone it. FIFA finds it very difficult to postpone work up. Even the earth don't postpone things that are important to them. So, kingdom work cannot be what? It can be postponed. We can't say we'll get it done tomorrow. We can't say we'll get it done later. We'll have to do it now. Because now is the time and the day of salvation. Yes, sir. Right? Yes, sir. So when are we going to serve God? Now. Now. When are we going to do the will of God? Now. Now. You can't do it later. You see, you can't come back to the ministry after you have made money. Usually when you are ready, you won't have both money and ministry. Right? You can't tell God, you can't dictate timing. Are we together here? Yes, I'm just doing a quick recap. And this guy said he wants to bury his father first. And the father said, and Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So I want us to appreciate the urgency of ministry work. Huh? The urgency of what? Because a lot of us got saved, and were in atmospheres that there was no sense of urgency. And so urgency is a bit strange to us. He says, now the person Jesus said he should go and preach the gospel has not necessarily been trained by the Lord himself. I don't know if you get the point now. It means that the thing is so urgent that they might have to do a crash course for the guy. Are you together with me? I tell people God sometimes will do an apostolic work with an evangelist. Sometimes God doesn't have time to raise an apostle. Some people rise because those who are meant to do it are busy. And God just has to hurry up another person who is available. Yeah. There is a type of hunger that doesn't wait for spoon. Do you know that? A type of hunger that doesn't wait for spoon. That anything we find as spoon, we use it because of the hunger. Sometimes when you are waiting for cutlery, it's a sign that amen. The other day, was it yesterday? Stephen was very hungry and they were telling him that there's no meat. And when I checked his hunger that was in his soul, I know that he couldn't wait for them to either microwave meat or something. The guy just... Abby Stephen. Amen. I need the meat the next day so that they... it will meet. It's urgent, right? It's urgent. It's urgent. The thing is urgent. And don't forget, by the time we now got to chapter 10, we now began to see the urgency of it, where he now began to say that the harvest is already ripe. And you know, harvest is very time sensitive. Ah, no. Harvest is time sensitive. You need to understand that the harvest you are desiring, the birds also desire to spoil it. If you have stayed around where there's mango, you understand what I'm talking about. It's not just you that want mango. Birds also want mango. And it's not only you that is, you know, there's some mango you wait for. By the time you see the destiny of the mango, you know, this one will do well. And some of you are just waiting for it. Every day you check it. You say, okay. But the challenge is that you are not aware that you are not the only one checking it. There's one of the real cuckoo who is also... who is also checking it, right? And you know how sad you feel when you come there. And the anointing about those birds is that they don't finish it. They spoil it. So Satan wants to spoil our harvest. It's time sensitive. He wants you to do what you are to do today, decide to do it tomorrow. Before tomorrow comes, he has gone to spoil it. Your souls, there's a time to save the generation. Huh? So the kingdom of God is urgent and what? It's priority. This is one of the reasons why we give our tithes first. Do you understand that? Because what the tithe is going to be used for is more important than what you want to use the rest for. Don't you see it that way? That what your tithe will be used for is more important than what you want to use the remaining for. Huh? So you don't use the rest first. I told you the principle of tithe is the principle of first. It's not just 10% in the middle. It's not 10, 20, 30, 40, then the 60% inside in the middle. You now remove it as tithe. No. Is the first 10. So don't think you pay tithe when you have finished all the money, you are now spending it till 10%. When that remains 10%, you now give, you have not paid your tithe. It's not the last 10. It's the first 10. And there's a blessing for it. Yeah, there is a blessing for it. There is a supernatural blessing for it. Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. That makes a lot of sense. Doesn't it make sense? It makes you look very responsible, very reasonable, and very decent. How many of you want to be decent? You just want to be decent. That even though you are a Christian, you don't want to... You want people to... praise God. You know, and a lot of women like this kind of men who are very decent. They don't carry the Christianity on their... you know... These are the kind of people most women want to. This is why we don't like to marry pastors. Because they are just, this guy's life is not sure. But when you are living a decent life, and you are now speaking in tongues again, say, Kai, 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 Kai. Thus said the Lord, this is my husband. Eh? Thus said the Lord what? The Lord said, if I don't marry this one, I've missed his will. You know, you just want to be decent. You see, one that is acceptable, is accepted even by the world. Praise God. What did I call this one, this third character? Unequivocality. The unequivocality of the kingdom. The kingdom is very straightforward. Eh? Our opinions are straightforward though. We don't confuse ourselves. I say, it's not like God. Now, marriage is between man and man, but you see, man and woman, but you see, sometimes, you see, let us preach love. You see? No. It's very clear, right? The unequivocality of the kingdom. You are very clear. Your nay is nay, and your yea is yea. We know where you are going to. You know, there are a lot of people who are sellouts. They are sellouts. They are sellouts. They are not unequivocal. Sometimes they have three opinions. These ones can vote for three parties at the same time. Yeah, they will vote for APC, they will vote for Labour, they will vote for PDP, depending on where they are. When they are with Labour people, they are with Obi. When they are with APC people, they are with Tinubu. Like, they don't like to offend anybody. You make covenant with such people, just know that you have lost your head. Yeah. They are never unequivocal. They are never clear. They are never what? Clear. They are never clear. Yoruba sometimes call them shotun shosi. Huh? Koba bikonje. Voma balia yareje. They are never unequivocal. Eh? Run away from such people. Run away from such people. When you notice someone is unequivocal, don't do serious things with that person. Do things that are not serious with that person. People who can say two things perfectly, two different things perfectly. Very dangerous. They are what? Then dangerous. You know that's how Judas is. Ah, when Judas is with Jesus, he will do miracles. Yeah, so it's part of the 70. Judas went to do miracles with Jesus' anointing. But he still went for dinner with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Because how do you have time to negotiate? You see him in Jesus' house. You also see him in the Pharisees' house. When he's with the Pharisees, he'll say, I've been telling Oga, I don't know. He needs to stop saying, yes, God has blessed him, but he needs to stop saying that he's Christ. All those things. Let's be praying for him. And when he's with Jesus, he'll say, Lord God Almighty. Hey, Judas. Judas, our Christmas. I didn't tell you, Judas, that Christmas. It's never unequivocal. It's not clear. You need to be unequivocal. A lot of you, when pressure comes, you change your mind. When pressure comes, you change your mind. You're not solid. You have to be solid. Eh? You have to be the same thing. You know, a lot of believers who went to UK and they started talking about, you know, Christianity in Africa. When you hear an adult, a grown man, begin to talk about, will take, you know, the camera and ring light and begin to talk about Christianity in Africa. You know, that's a silly person. It's a silly person. They say, you know, Christianity in Africa, you know, the way they practice Christianity in Africa. You know, and they begin to talk in a very strange way. The person is not unequivocal. Eh? Give me the various meaning of unequivocal in the dictionary. Let's look at it. Should be antonym will be the opposite of it. Synonym and antonym. As another one, synonym and antonym. Eh? All right, let's maintain synonym and antonym. I think. Now, tell me what unequivocal means. Let's get words for unequivocal itself. Not ambiguous. You know, people are ambiguous when they don't want you to catch their position. They just begin to talk. You see, the person will just be talking. Huh? The person will just be saying a lot of things and you won't be able to pinpoint what they are saying. When there is an issue, maybe there is a position, you just say, they will say this, they will speak for this side. They'll say, but if we look at it this way, why are we looking at it this way again? We've already looked at it this way. Hey, such people don't have power. Yeah, but they have deception. They don't carry power. And God doesn't use them. They will speak like this. Papa. Yes, they are mumu people. Very mumu people. They are the same ones that say Christians and Muslims are serving the same God. Yeah. I said, Christian, anyone who says that is not saved. You're not saved. Your spirit man is not regenerated. Because you don't even, because if you are regenerated, you will know. Yeah. There should be more, you don't have like a dictionary, a lot of words in dictionary, just put a dictionary itself on the screen. Give me those words, Pastor Idara. Unequivocal. Unambiguous. Hey, look at it. No doubt. Unambiguous. Unmistakable. Unambiguous. Indisputable. Incontrovertible. Indubitable. Undeniable. This is how you are meant to be. You see, Jesus lived his life in a way where he was deserving of being stoned. You get the point? If he was saying, you see, me and Moses were colleagues. Nobody will stone him.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And that was what the people would love to hear.
Yeah.
If you are saying, you see, Abraham is my daddy, you see. When he's with disciples, he says he's the Christ. When he's with, I say, you see, nobody will stone him. They will love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, that's why people love you. It's because you are weak.
Yes.
I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. A person without enemies is a person without power.
Yes.
I tell you. Nobody hates you. Why would nobody hate you? What are you doing wrong? You are so wrong. Nobody hates you. You are living a wrong life. Why would nobody? You know, there's nobody who, when you come, the person is offended.
Yes.
What kind of life is this?
Yes,
even dogs, when they pass, people are scared of dog. Talk less of human being. That's why when you see a dog pass, you arrange yourself. But you, when you pass, everybody welcomes you. Why? Nobody is targeting you. Nobody sees you and there is vexation. How come? Are you that weak? Oh, Sheruba, anybody? You supposed to enter a minute and say, ah! Without you knowing, no. Without you even knowing, no. You understand? You're just living your life. But you are so unequivocal that your life means somebody is wrong.
Yes.
You don't understand? Your choices must mean that the other person is wrong. So that's why they will hate you, because you are too direct that you convict. And so those you convict should plan to kill you.
Yes.
I mean, if you read Psalm, you will see, you know, David reading about his enemies. Some of you, if you read Psalm, nobody will die if you read Psalm. Some of us, when we pray Psalm, overnight, three people will fall dead because they are enemies. Some of you, if you read Psalm, God will say, you don't have enemies, everybody loves you. There's no reason to say any weapon formed against me. Say, oh, no weapon is formed against you. You are so weak. There's no weapon formed against you. You are so weak. There's no enchantment against you. You are just docile. You understand? Everybody, you know, Ukraine doesn't want to kill you. Russia doesn't want to kill you. If you go to Russia, they'll tell you to sit down. If you go to Ukraine, they'll give you room because you are useless. That's how some people's life lack effect. You understand? They are candid, point blank, straight from the shoulder. I don't know what that means, but it sounds nice. Straight from the shoulder. Black and white, positive, certain, decisive, emphatic, absolute, manifest, distinct. Categorical, outright, downright, direct, straightforward, blunt, this is Jesus already told us, he says they hate me, they will hate you. See how he prepared us for hatred. He never did a sermon for us on how to get to be liked. No preaching like that. Clear cut, crystal clear, plain, well defined, explicit, specific. Yeah. That's the meaning of unequivocal. The unequivocality of a kingdom. It's like that. Some people are so useless, they are not even unequivocal, even with their wives. I tell you. Yeah, some people are that used. There are some useless men like that. That when they go home, their family members will be insulting their wife in their presence. They are useless men. You understand? When you see the man, you are not sure if maybe you are seeing tissue paper or a real man. That useless. Yeah. I tell you, some people are that useless. Yeah. The family member will be insulting, they'll say, be more sharing here, Esha Magbadura for me. I tell you. When you're unequivocal, some things will not come to your doorstep.
Yeah, they know he can't come. He can't come there. He can't come. Yeah. If you bring something to my doorstep, I will check myself. Ah, how come you were able to bring it? The problem is not that you brought it, but how? I'll repent. I say, God, I don't know if you repent or if you repent alone. I repent alone. No. I'm just alone. I'll just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry, man. How did that happen? I'm really sorry. Sometimes if I haven't kicked my leg on the foot, I'll tell my leg, sorry, I just feel sorry for myself. You have to be unequivocal about the things God has told you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Imagine somebody advising me not to go and maybe make money and do business. Like somebody calling me for that kind of advice. It must mean that the person did not see a kind of, they should be watching me like, they should be pitying me, but they should not be able to approach me. I say, what the guy doing with life? Adele, bass over you. Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. I told you about when somebody advised Bishop and Walioki. Yeah, when they were younger ministers. They went to see a very elderly man and he was advising them to get serious with life. And the Bishop told Walioki that, thank him for us. after the man spoke, Bishop said, thank him for us. Walioki now thank the man. Bishop now asked them, Bishop Walioki now said, well, look at that, Bishop. Why did you say you thank for it? I can never thank a man who is advising me against my destiny. I can never thank a man who is advising me against my destiny. Thank him for us. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody change the world from the sidelines. No. You can't change the direction of a match from the sidelines. You get a jersey. You pick a side. Pick a side. I play for Chelsea. That's it. You can't have the jersey of why are you useless? You will not be useless in your life. I said you will not be useless in your life. Don't you think this is a great prayer? I said you will not be useless in your life. Not be. I said you won't be useless in your life. Praise God. Satan will have no need to argue with God that you're on his side. Imagine Satan argue with God and say, now my guy now, that's my number nine. Say, hey, but he spoke in tongues last week. He's still my number nine. No, that's not the point. So this guy wanted to be in the good books of his family so that he can look responsible. Just say, let me first go bid them farewell who are at the house. And Jesus Christ said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. Is what? Say, when you have put your hands on the plow, and then you are looking back again. You are not unequivocal. Yeah. You are already here. Why are you looking back again? You said you are no more interested in the relationship, but you are still checking the boy's page. Why? Any sort of you are still going to check his life. You are the one that said you are not doing. You said God said. And any sort of you are checking, has he put anything on his status? The boy has already muted you. He has blocked you. You are not even aware of that. He said you're no more interested now. And you're still saying, can we talk about it? We are not going to talk about it again. So can we just meet? Can we just, so that we can, what do we say? Let's have closure. And closure is very expensive. Very expensive. Especially the full frontal. Pastor, but you know full frontal. Full frontal is expensive. Because to even install itself is another money. I tell you. You will pay for installation every time. So, yeah. So you don't need the, you don't need closure. Just go and pleat your hair. Just move on. Just do all back and move on. Or patewo, or just shall do something. I tell you, friends, we have to be unequivocal, man. We have to be convicted and convinced of the things that we believe. I'm unequivocal. We have to be convicted of the things that you believe. You believe it. You stay on what you believe. You follow it. You pursue it. You're not a weakling. So after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and every place. You know, we had a good time here, but I wouldn't stay here. Whither he himself would come. Oh, what a powerful verse. What a powerful verse. How many of you have gone to listen to this message again? It's such a powerful message. You need to do that. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. So you see, that previous chapter was a chapter where he was looking for laborers. And with everything that happened there, he was able to get just 70. And then he needed more. You see? And that's why, when you are growing a work, a ministry work, you should first focus on getting the laborers, not the crowd. You need the laborers. Anything that is serious to you, get laborers. You focus on the laborers. Don't focus on the crowd. It's a waste of time when you focus on the crowd. The laborers is the harvest. Yeah. It's the harvest. I tell you the truth. The laborers actually is the harvest. I taught this last week. You focus on the laborers. If the people are not laborers, they are not God's harvest yet. It's not yet God's harvest now. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, you see, a farmer can always reproduce everything in his field if he has laborers. Yeah. He can repeat this year's harvest next year. When we're talking about harvest, the focus of the farmer is always to get the right employees, the right laborers. Are we together?
Yes,
get laborers. You need heads. Get laborers. You see, laborers determine, can I talk here?
Yes, sir.
This is just for leaders. Laborers determine the temperature of your organization. They set the tone. So that when the harvest comes in, the harvest already has meets an existing template and temperature that it follows. So you need the laborer. You need to focus on the laborers. So as a leader, focus on those who are listening to you. Don't stress yourself on those who are not listening to you. Those who are not listening to you, you owe them a very, very consistent, loving smile. Anyone who's not listening to you, owe them a what? A loving smile. Because you don't know, they might listen to you tomorrow. So you smile with them, but you don't plan with them. Never. And you don't strive with them. Because when you strive with them, you create a spirit in your organization, and your organization looks like an organization that is full of strife. What you focus on will be the temperature of your organization. So when you are focusing on those who are not serious, what you'll be doing every day is complaining. So you have an organization of complaining. So when people come in, they have to continue, they look for what to do to make complaint continue, because it's like complaining is the order of the day. So they look for what problem can I cause? It's as though a guy is not having issues with me. So you can't make issues common. You understand? You make smooth running common. Huh? So the laborers is the what? Is the harvest. So in anything, listen, all unit heads, both in church and if you are building a business, learn to focus on those who have your heart, who have your spirit. They might be few out, but focus on those ones. I tell you, when you focus on those ones, by the time those ones are set, Kai, do we attract the harvest? But this time, the harvest will not destroy the organization. The harvest will take the shape of the laborers. Are we together with me? So he was really looking for laborers, but he could only get 70. And then he sent them two by twos. And then when he was telling us to, oh my goodness, I love Jesus. I love the word of God. When he was now introducing prayer point, friends, he did not ask us to pray for the harvest. He didn't ask us to pray for the harvest. Why? Aha. Because the harvest are sure. The harvest is sure. Why? Because he is the Lord of the harvest. Can I talk to you? Now, he is the Lord of the harvest, but he cannot, there are things, oh my goodness. There are things he cannot determine. He cannot determine the shape of the harvest. And he cannot determine the shape of the harvest and then the state of things after harvest. Let me tell you something. God can bring a blessing upon you, but God cannot determine the type of person you will become when the blessing has come. That one is your work. He can't. So he said, we need to pray that the Lord sends laborers. So those are the three qualities I taught you now about what makes a laborer, which was learned in Luke chapter 9 verse 57 to the end of that verse that now brought us to this one. So as a church, what must we build? What must we raise? Laborers. We need to raise laborers. Not crowd though. Crowd will come and go. See, the people that killed Jesus are the ones that ate his food. They didn't import his killers from another country. Those people shouted, crucifying, crucifying. Some of them, he healed them. How many are the whole of, how many is the whole of Israel that time? Where the man was already packing stadiums. Jesus' church was huge, but he was not deceived. And he didn't give them all the time. The ones he gave time are the 12 guys. Now check what those 12 guys did. Those 12 guys were more valuable than the thousands in that crusade. I tell you, all the 12 were responsible of taking the whole world. Yeah. The 12 took the whole world.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because he created, he raised laborers. When you raise laborers, you will have longevity.
Yes.
Are we together here? So as a church, we need to raise laborers.
Yeah.
So next time we say we want to do 30 days, it won't be strange to new members. Because they announce we are doing 30 days. By the time he hears everybody scream, woo! Who will he complain to? When he hears everybody say, wow, make it 35! somebody's gotta be crazy. Somebody's gotta be crazy. Yeah, you have to raise laborers. By the time I come on the stage and I say, we need 50 million in this service. And boom, 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 boom. And we begin to look at it. All right, we are in 25 million. I will do it. I will do it. I've done it already. I will do it again. I will just come one day. I will say, next week we are raising 100 million. Hey! And we just go and say, all right, not 100 million by faith, like 100 million. Now, I say, 10 here. Say, all right, add it. 5, 2. How many will you give? 50 there. The whole 100. Oh yeah, let's do it to 1 billion. 1 billion. $1 billion. How many will you give? All right, 10 billion. Hold on, go. Yeah. Laborers.
Yes.
Can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
God puts the divine soil in the hearts, in the lives of the laborers. The crowd can take of the fruits. The laborers carry the soil. That's why the laborers have the ability to repeat harvest. Can repeat harvest. What we have done here, if we take us somewhere else, we'll do the same thing. We'll do the same thing. The soil is here.
Yeah.
And we won't lose our voice. We won't scream. Oh, no! It will be going to blue, to blue, to blue, to slow, slow, steady. You repeat it. If God can convert you to laborer, you see, the Corinthian church had a very serious problem. They have become so blessed that they have started doing nonsense. Ah, the blessing has the capacity to introduce you into nonsense. Yes, you don't know. Because when you read the book of, I don't want to go too far, but let me quickly say this. When you read that book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the Bible says that they were not lacking in any gift. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The church was so blessed that the gift of prophecy, healing, everything, there was no church like this church. So amazing a church. So that he came behind, this church is not second. It's first. Healing. Corinthian church. You say, you came, so that he came behind in no gift. They were that blessed. I started to do nonsense. They could prophesy to the point where they began to swear for Jesus Christ. Yeah. You don't understand. They are named to this thing, so. Ah. I heard one, there are people who say Adam is not the first Adam, that there's another Adam before the Adam in Genesis. That's when God bless you with revelation. You will start doing leg over with the ball behind you. Ah. When skill is too much. That's the challenge when you are skilled. You know, when people are overskilled, eventually the team may feel like stoning them. I don't know if you remember Robinho.
Yes.
Robinho can do it in 5 leg over in 1 second. JJ Okocha. You can just do skill and just kick the ball anywhere and start laughing. The Corinthian church was like that. The prophecy was too much. One just said, Kai, Jesus Christ is cursed. This thing is deeper than Paul had to write and say, no one prophesies by yes, sir. There are revelations. You say, you don't understand that Christ is not it. You can say, after Christ, God is calling us to Christos. There are a lot of, when revelation is too much, I tell you the truth. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calling Jesus accursed. And that no man can say Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. They had become so, so blessed that they had to take them back to elementary. But one of the reasons why there is the blessing here was because of the labor of Paul and Apollos. And that's laborers. Whenever there is laborers, there will always be harvest. It was in this same place we read that Paul plants, Apollo waters. Anytime God finds laborers, planters and waterers, then he will appear as the Lord of harvest. There's always increase when there's labor. The studies, I'm teaching you the exact secret to church growth.
Yes, sir.
And all other growth. Exact one. If you can, a lot of pastors look for crowd instead of first to raise laborers. So their eye is on crowd. And it is until there is laborers that the God manifests as the God of increase. Yeah. Even in anything, anytime you want increase, first go and study what is the protocol for laboring in this field and focus there. Because increase is beyond your power. Laboring is your jurisdiction. Increase is God's jurisdiction. Stop looking at God's work. Focus on your own work and see whether your work, you must do your own first.
Yeah.
Do your own first. And laboring is not exciting. It's harvest that excites. If they tell you to go and plant corn, you don't go with joy. But if they tell you to go and invest in the corn, you go with joy. It's very easy now. Is it not easy? If they say take O and go and let's go and clear this grass, I want to plant corn, you will be sluggish to go. But if they say come, that corn don't ripen, more go pluck them. You can even do it playfully. You can even do your hand like that. Like the, they say go, they switch you. Now a lot of people, is that one they focus on? Instead of you to focus on the laboring. Huh? When you focus on laboring, harvest is automated. Yes. Am I not teaching you the right thing?
Yes,
so you say, pray that the Lord will send. So you see, the conversation was about harvest, but God told his first 70 laborers that for us to access this harvest, please pray for laborers. Because the harvest is ripe, but laborers are what are few. Laborers are usually few. I don't know if I can teach you a little. So it means that that until you can be busy with few. Because anytime you are in laboring season, what you will have is few. Laboring season is always what? It's always few. And usually, a lot of you, what you do with few is despise it. Usually, when it's few, you sit down sad and say, Lord, where? Whereas, he has already given you the right thing you need. It's always few. It says the laborers are few. So it means that Jesus Christ, this 70 was few in his hands. But he didn't say, let's wait till we are complete. He sent the 70 like that. I say, but this 70, let's just pray that we'll get what? More laborers. So laborers increase as you do your best with the few you have. Do your best with the few you have. I don't think it's a thing of joy when you have a church of 3,000 and 100 attend Bible study. It's not a joyful thing, don't you think? That's a declining house. It's not a house of laborers. Are you not happy you came to church today? Don't you think your life is getting better? Huh? Or would it have been better if you were at home?
No.
Or you'd have been enjoying yourself playing game? I think this is the right thing to do, don't you think so? It's the right thing to do. You know, when Maya was singing, what was coming to my mind is that God wants us to be victorious. Yeah. We must know how to be victorious. Because victorious living is the greatest evangelism we can ever do. Yeah. When you are living a victorious life, you have already become the message. Because the witnessing he said that we will do in the book of Acts is the witnessing of personality, not the witnessing of speaking. You will be the witness. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Let me take it a little bit further in the next few minutes. This is a good read. So go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among, you know, every phrase, every sentence of Jesus for me is serious. I tell you the truth. I have to run away from all his lines. For many years, I focused on him. Till now, I love Jesus a lot. I like, you know, when I'm reading the Bible, I say, I want to think like him. I want to behave like him. So I took my time to be checking him out. I like him. His words are the deepest. It's deeper than Book of Revelations. Yeah. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. I don't salute anybody by the way. Are you together with me? Do you know the reason is because you have already been employed? Huh? You have already been employed. You see, because if you must carry purse, are you together with me? If you must carry purse, it means that you have to go and look for the money. Huh? What he's saying is that I can't send you and you are the one looking for the money again. That would be a bad thing, don't you think so? It's like working for a company where you need a laptop and they still tell you that, when are you going to buy the laptop? You know, you won't like that kind of complaint. I say, okay, you have not bought your laptop. I say, this work, you need to be doing a lot of applications on, you need an Apple. When is your Mac coming? You know, that's the kind of job they call Adonwu. Adonwu, Abi. That's a test. That's a very bad one. So he's saying, don't take pause. Nor scrib. What's scrib? Is it like a garment? Give me the new KJV. A knapsack. Nor sandals. And greet no one along the road. You know, he has cornered us. He said, don't greet anyone, because sometimes we greet people. You understand? So that they can like us. Or you codedly say your problem. I said, good morning, sir. I just said, I preach the gospel. I'm doing nothing but just preaching. Not like I have anything, but I trust God. He said, so don't greet anybody. In Africa, you know, people who don't greet are people who know where they are going. Yeah. You know, it's always annoying when somebody doesn't greet you. I still come and ask you. And somebody passed you, they not greet you. I still come and say, please, it is number 7. Yeah. Because we have assumed that the reason you didn't greet is because you know where you are going and you are, and there's no time. Yeah. And so God says you need to know that I've finished everything. You don't have to greet anybody. I mean, nobody needs to like you. You don't have to stay around preachers so that they can see that you also have a calling. You don't have to send a mail to someone that I'm in town next week. Yeah, you don't. You understand? You don't tell anybody that, you know, I'm in town. Or, you know, I have a, you know, so, there's this guy somebody introduced to me. I've never ever met him before. I've never met him. The next thing I saw, just like 2 minutes after they introduced me, over the phone, I just greeted him. A pastor just introduced me to him over the phone. And the next minute, when they gave him my number, the next minute was that he sent me a 40-minute message, he preached that I should listen to it. Yeah. So that I can invite him, you know, maybe for the next apostolic conference, because he's the newest, you know. You don't have to do that. Huh? You don't have to do that.
Some people are offended that this person did not invite me. No, you don't have to be offended at anybody. The person that sent you will take good care of you. You understand? You don't have to be offended at that. Says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Greet no one along the road. Be focused. Eh? Be what?
Be focused.
Be focused. Focus on what God says you should do. Focus on what God says. Stop greeting people. Eh?
Yes,
stop greeting people. Stop trying to appear in pictures. Stop trying to appear that you do. Stop that nonsense. Listen, the honor of God doesn't have disgrace in it. Yeah. Stop giving the opportunity for people to insult you. Yeah. Yeah, there is insults for the person who will not stay in his place. Yeah. Yeah. Insult is coming soon. They are just still respecting you, expecting that you will use your brain. But insult is, if you don't stay where you are meant to stay, insult is coming soon. Jesus Christ said, when you get somewhere, don't struggle to sit in front. He says, sit at the back because it's better they call you from the back to the front. It's not that you have sit at the front and then I come and whisper in your head. I said, sir. Sir, we just want to. Sir, we just. Sorry, sir. The ushers will take you to the overflow. Whereas you would have had a great day if you just sat at the overflow. It would have been a great time. You can even get the best overflow chair. Yeah. I tell you the truth. Be focused. I tell you, be focused. Be focused. Stop asking the guy why he has not called you. Why didn't he call you? You have to be focused. Do you understand? That guy you are asking why he has not called you, he's calling other people. He has time. It's you he didn't call. It's you he didn't call. You don't understand? You came to his mind. He now decided that it's not like he forgot to call you. He remembered not to. Do you understand? So why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me? When are we going on a date? He already went on a date. He went. And he begged the person. He was begging the person. The person said, I will just give you 30 minutes. And you have 2 days. I said, if we can spend 2 days together. Somebody begged. He begged somebody for 25 minutes. And the person said, can you hurry up? You will experience. You will experience shame if you don't stay joyfully where God has placed you. Joyfully. Joyfully. Be joyful where God has. Be joyful. You don't have to start doing so that people can notice you. No, you don't. No, stay where God has and do it with joy. And be okay if that's where you will stay till Jesus returns.
Yeah.
Hey. I tell you the truth. Just be okay. Because you know he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. Can we go further?
Yes.
But whatsoever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. So you are not looking for peace. You carry the peace. And God is saying that the way you will know where I have sent you is that there will be a there will be a connection. The peace you carry will also be there. Are you together with me? That is how you know the will of God for your life. How do you know the will of God for life? Peace, peace. Peace, peace. That's how you know the will of God for your life. Peace, peace. 2 God gave 4. It can't be 2 divided by 7. You don't have to be looking for, are we going to approximate to the lowest number? Approximate. 2 divided by 7 is what? 7 divided by 2. What's that one? Yes. They're just looking for 2 divided by 11 is what? Remainder what? Huh? Remainder 1. So what would we do with that 1 now? We don't know. We don't know what we'll do with the remainder. That's the sign that there's no peace. It's not working. There's remainder. There is remainder there. Hey. It's not working. They see this remainder. What are we going to do with it? You not hide as if there's no remainder. Everybody has remainder there. It's remainder. That's how you will know that the God is not there. If God is there, there will be no remainder. He says that's how you should live. You should live first. You must have peace. It means that you don't need anyone. You are okay with God. And anywhere you want to put your feet is where God has ordained for you. You don't want to force anything. God says, I'm going to always ready a son of peace for you. I will definitely ready a son of peace for you. And that's how you will know this is me. If there's no son of peace there, I didn't plan it for you. Don't force it. That's how you know God's will for your life. A son of peace there. Whatsoever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. So when you notice something is returning to you, flip it. God is not there. Don't force it. It's returning to you. God is not there. It's returning. Every day you are saying, you don't love me. There's no peace there. Say, you don't love me. You don't love me. You don't need to call me. There is no peace. There is returning to you. I remember one guy told one of my daughters, he said, please, can you don't put me on your status? Yeah, he said, don't put me on your status. I'm a kind of private type of guy. That's not a don. That's a don't who. There's no peace there. Huh? There's no peace there. For example, you come to this church, for example, you want to change the church. We are not the son of peace. You are meant to dust your feet and go. There's no peace. There's no peace. If it's not working, it's not working. Don't you think so? Oh my goodness, how easy life is. If you can just live. The Bible says, let the peace of God guard. It says the peace of God should guard your heart. The peace of God is your compass. It's your compass. It's your compass. If you live this way, you won't go through too many pain. Yeah. A lot of the pain you went through, the pain has been accumulating. You did not just talk to yourself. Until the pain now exploded on your face. Eh? Yes, looking for what's not lost. I have peace. I have peace. I have it. So I'm not expecting anything or anyone to give me peace. It is with the peace that's in me that I discern where God wants me to be. I use my peace for discernment. I went to see one great man of God some years back. I went to see him. The thing was not flowing. He's a great man of God. It was not flowing. The man was stylishly promising me things. Say, you know, I want to do this. I'm going to put you in this place. When I put you there, you know, I'm going to expose you to the world. I'm going to. There was no flowing. There was my peace, you know. Anytime I go, when I leave the man's house, it's just. It's not. It's what every young man of God will like. But I'm not led by lust. I'm led by peace. Anything that will be sweet in my mouth but not sweet in my stomach, I don't want it. It has to be sweet from inside. That's what I'm looking for. The thing was, the man was promising me, Lord, the thing was not working. I called my father and Lord, I said, this person is not working. Anytime I leave the man, I just said, what am I doing here? He laughed. I said, I didn't want to tell you anything. I wanted you to go by yourself. Why you not tell me? Say no, I don't want to tell you. When you go by yourself. Oh, no peace. Until one day I now had a vision and the Lord showed me some very serious things. Not bad, not good. It's the Lord that showed me. Just forget what I said. There was no peace. Can I tell you something? When you operate this peace, what God has given you will be enough. When there's no peace, you what you have will not be enough again. I tell you, lack of, when you are doing something where there's no peace, the resources God has given you will suddenly not be enough. Yes. You will need more. You will need more. When there's no peace, you will need more. It will be as if your life is empty. Yeah. You will be looking for what's not lost to sustain that thing. Because where there is no peace, there can't be grace. Ah! Peace leads you to grace. When there is peace, there will be grace. You look for peace. You know, some people traveled out of this country and their life began to crumble. Yes, no. Because when they were going, it was lust that took them. Peace. There's no son of peace waiting for them in Southampton. No son of peace. You don't understand? No angel waited for them at the airport. They got to the airport. There was no angel waiting for them at the airport. No, how can you go and no angel is taking your briefcase? And that's why when you're experiencing depression and confusion, those two things is a sign that you have walked out of peace. Depression. Or heart palpitation. Your eyes are doing, as if there's gallop in your, as if your heart turned to Todd Mellon Bridge. The brother calls you, say, gagger. The sister calls you, gagger, like Todd Mellon Bridge. Ah! Retrace your step. Your step should be where peace is. Where there's peace, stay. You are safe for where there's peace. Oh. Listen, when you have little and peace, you don't have lack. When you have plenty without peace, you are still empty. Son of peace. Says any house you enter, first knock, say peace to this house. And check, is that son of peace there? Your peace will rest on you. Won't do much. Where there is peace, you don't do much. It will just rest. And you find out that you are dating a girl. Sorry, I'm using things that you can understand. You are dating somebody and you just see the need to change your accent. There's no son of peace there. You just see that you have to, for this thing to work, you have to change your accent. And so, you speak like an Ekiti man in your house. When you are leaving, you are saying, hi, hello, how you doing? You are in trouble. You are in trouble already. Or you have to borrow money. You have to go and borrow money to buy your girlfriend gift. You are in trouble. You have to go and borrow the money that your father has not had all his life. Yeah, like if the father combined all his income, He has not reached what you went to borrow to impress. One shot, get actually shot. That's what you get. You don't have peace. You don't have peace. You don't have peace. Where there is peace, it will always be enough. You know, in this church, there is peace. That's why it's enough. The 21 days, there was peace. That's why it's enough. We have not done an emergency meeting after the 21 days to talk about the crisis, our current financial crisis. And say, now we have done 21 days, so let's discuss how shall we go move forward. No, we did not. We have not done a meeting. I've not even seen the budget. I didn't even ask for it. I didn't ask for it. I just remembered now. To look at it and say, well, I've not asked for it. You know why? Peace. Peace. 8 years ago, we had Mano Event Center. When we checked the peace left Mano. We packed ourselves and we went to the Esubu's house. The peace was in the house. Say, we must move to another event center. No, we must move to peace. So all people now say, from event center to house, are you not going down? I'm not going down. I'm going into peace. Now, a few years later, we have now purchased a property, whole property. Peace. Peace. Two properties. Peace. Going number three, going third one. Peace. You know the joy of being able to preach and insult everybody. Do you know what I'm saying? I can insult anybody. There's nobody I'm trusting. Listen, there's nobody I'm trusting will not leave. I can even insult you and come to you and tap you. You will know I'm insulting you. Do you know what I'm saying? Peace. 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 You don't understand. There's nobody I'm waiting. You don't understand. I'm not waiting for when somebody will drop a particular murder. This person has, there's no one person in the old church that I'm waiting for the person's offering. Nobody. It's peace. You see, because if you don't connect with me, I don't connect with you. It's a mutual disconnection. It's a mutual. If you don't like me, it's a mutual dislike. You don't understand? I'm not wishing that you liked me. I understand why you don't like me. It's because you are not the son of peace. You are not my son of peace that God has prepared for me. Yeah. Yeah. That's how John said it. John said, they are not of us. He said, the reason why they are, he said, if they left, the reason why they left is because they were never. He did not interpret their living as losing. He interpreted their living as unveiling. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So the only reason why you will leave, it's because what? You're not of us. Now, and that's not a demonic thing. Because you might be of somebody else. Maybe somehow you just, the bus took you to the wrong bus stop. And by the message of God, you linked the right bus stop. Yeah. Are you getting the point now? I wish I can hear you say peace. You have to learn to be satisfied with peace. I see you prosper by peace. Oh, you don't believe me. I said I see you prosper by peace. Are we together? You see, if the Son of Peace is there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. I want you to live as somebody who has something. Somebody who has something that is returning to you. He said, your peace will return to you. So it means that you are not a parasite. You are a giver. Oh, the time has gone. You didn't tell me. All right. 5 minutes, I'll be done. And in the same house remain. Eh? Oh my goodness. What speech Yoruba say? Alafia. Fokobale. Alafia. Alafia. Praise God. So you remain in the house where there is a son of peace, right? And it says, eating and drinking, such things as they give. Pastor Heidi, when you find your house of peace, you will enter a realm where things will be given to you. When there is peace, you will be given to. Give to you. Giving to. So you have to stay close to God so that He can position you where there is peace. Where there is peace, you'll be giving to. People will give you opportunities. People will give you everything you need. So unje alafia ni ya on disciple unje. Omi alafia lomu. You know, this is not the only food that exists too. The book of Psalm told us about those who wake up early, they will sleep late. And it says they eat the bread of sorrow. So there's bread of sorrow. Here we are seeing bread of peace. I see you eating the bread of peace. I believe what I'm saying. Everyone under the sound of my voice, you will eat the bread of peace. I'm telling you. You are going to know what it means to prosper by peace. Yeah. You see, as the one who is privileged to oversee this house, to be the pastor of this house, the apostle of this house, the prophet of this house, you are going to prosper by peace. Yeah. Prosper by peace. I tell you. They'll give you contracts to sign and then it will be by peace. They'll call you to opportunities. New opportunities. Oh. And it will be by peace. See now. See now. You know, I was meant to travel today. I was meant to go for a retreat starting today, but I just felt I should drop a blessing before I leave. That's why I didn't travel. In fact, that's why Paul came to carry me. But I told him to wait. But let me do. I was not meant to do today, sir. I just felt like blessing you. Let me tell you something about money. At the beginning stage, money usually feels heavy. When you hear 1 million, 10 million, it has a heavy feel. Feels heavy. And it feels difficult. Now there's another stage. Money is numbers. I mean, it's literally numbers. Like, do I want to send him 500? No, let me add another zero so it will be 5 million. And all you added in your soul is just another zero. You cannot feel the weight of 505 million. Do you understand? There is a peace realm and a grace realm for prosperity. I ask that the Father in heaven will take you there.
Amen.
Your soul will not count money as a big deal anymore.
Amen.
Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Always find that peace. Live for that peace. Live as a laborer. Don't live for yourself. When you live as a laborer for Jesus and not for yourself, these are the realms you step in. Where without pause, without scrip, without sandal, you will be given to. And you will eat and you will drink. I'll take a third session of this teaching. In the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. So the people who are even giving you will never count them as, count it as doing you a favor. That will be the level of value God will place upon your life. People are giving to you and it's because they are sure they owe you. It's when you enter labor. God says, if I can make you a laborer, you will enter into worthy rewards. And you know, can I talk to you? You know, reward is not based on the work you do. It's based on who you are working for. Reward is not based on the work you are doing. No. Some of you, the work you are doing is too much. Too. You just need to change who you are working for. What you are doing right now, if you are doing it for another company, they'll tell you to calm down. That you should not kill yourself. If I don't think they're abusing you, I tell you, and the reward will be high like this. It's not, you see, it's not hard work. It's who you are working for. I have an idea where I'm meant to be in church today. I bless your career. I bless your work. I bless that area of your life. We oil it tonight. This is why God has asked me to come to church today. Kaya. We pour oil on it tonight. Let the master's oil rest on it. Come into worthy rewards. Let the atmosphere change. Let the glory fall. Let the atmosphere change. Let the glory fall. Let the kindness of heaven breathe on the works of your hands. I hear you say, my God is good. I hear you say, my God is good. I hear you say, my God is good. You will see his goodness and taste of it. The days of worry are over. A new day has come.
The rain of plenty is falling now. The rain of plenty is falling now. The Lord bless you. The work of your hands is blessed. Peace takes over your affairs. Grace gets it done for you. The Lord makes you a giant in the sphere of life He has called you in. Walk prospered. Walk prospering. This blessing is yours. You sit on great thrones. Nothing will pull you down. Let favor be your helper. Let favor be your helper. You are blessed. Let favor cause your volumes to increase. Let there be an increase in the volumes of all that you do. Be invited. Be invited. Where great people sit, where thrones engage, be invited. So shall it be. The blessing is upon you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.